Welcome to the weekly podcast from Ashford Baptist, an active evangelical community church of all ages and many nationalities based in the centre of Ashford, Kent in the UK. We hope you enjoy the message.
There are two scripture readings today. The first one is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13, and then verse 16, and then Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 2. Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Hebrews 11. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Peter and Janet, for leading us in that. Can I just say, I love coming to Ashford Baptist Church. You know, this is another family I've got. And one of the things that privileges that I have now as a retired minister means I get to go to different churches. And I've got so many families now, and this is one of them. So thank you for inviting me back. We're looking today at the shield of faith. I understand that you've been looking at the full armour of God. And as Janet just read to us there, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I have no PowerPoint today because I have a visual aid. So I hope that those of you that love a PowerPoint will be able to cope with this. But I want to think about three things today. First of all, what is faith? Secondly, what does the shield protect us from? And thirdly, how do we use the shield? So let's dive straight in at this and think for a moment or two about what is faith. And that's the reason why we had the Hebrews 11 reading for us. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And after that, if you read it, I mean, do read it this week. It will lift your spirits as you read about the faith. I've been reading it over and over this last week to, you know, get myself into the sort of like the groove of what faith is all about. And that is one of the brilliant verses or chapters in the Bible that teaches us. And it goes all the way through this whole list of people. And I would encourage you to read that chapter this week. So faith is about placing our confidence and believing in someone that we cannot see. If you are a follower of Jesus, you believe Jesus exists. None of us have seen Jesus in our natural state. He may have revealed himself to some of us through visions and things like that, through dreams, but in our physical sense, we've never seen him. Yet we believe in him. We believe all the things that we read about him. Imagine a conversation in a coffee shop. Do you believe that there is a God?
Yeah, I believe there's God. Well, prove it to me. Show me. You know, give me tangible evidence that there is a God. I can't do that. I can't take you somewhere and say, look, there's God. But what I can show you, or what I can tell you, is that when you believe in God, he then begins to reveal himself to you. And so all of us will have stories that we can say, well, actually, I've experienced God in different ways. And it's only by believing in him that we actually then begin to experience him. In expressing our faith in God, he reveals that he exists. Now, the people that we read in Hebrews 11, you know, they were going through their lives just like we were going through our lives, and they believed God, and they didn't have the Gospels and the whole story of Jesus, and yet they believed God, and God was pleased with their faith that they had placed in him. It says in Hebrews 11, 39 and 40, it says, they were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. They all believed God. They all believed that there is a God. They expressed faith. And that's why faith is so important. It is absolutely crucial to who we are as a group of people. And that's why the Bible tells us to take up the shield of faith. It is at the core of who we are as followers of Jesus. If you take away faith, what have you got left? Well, nothing. It's interesting that the word faith occurs 270 times in the New International Version of the Bible. It may be slightly different to different versions, but 207. Did you know that it occurs 27 times in Hebrews 11? So 10% of all the references to the word faith are in one chapter. And that's why Hebrews 11 is such a brilliant chapter to read and to really lift our whole spirits. In verse 6 it says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So when Paul says to us, take up the shield of faith, he's saying, look, utilize what God has given you. Use what God's given you to protect yourself. Just like Vincent this morning was protecting himself from those, not fiery arrows this time, but paper balls. If we have no faith, it means we hope in nothing. We believe that there is nothing beyond what we can see and touch and smell and hear and feel. But across the world, lots of people have faith. Faith is not an unusual thing. It's not a unique thing to the Christian faith. And the devil's tactic is not so much as to destroy faith. Because, you know, you have to have faith that the devil exists if you believe in him. But one of his tactics is to divert faith. So instead of having faith in God, you have faith in anything else. And the tactic of the devil is to deceive people, saying, it's all right. You can live your life like that. It'll all come out, you know, happy in the end. It's about deceiving people into believing anything but the truth in the one true God. So when we take up our shield of faith, we're not only protecting ourselves against not having faith, but we're also protecting ourselves against things that are not the true thing to have faith in. So let us think about what it means. What does the shield of faith protect us from? And I'm going to look at four things that the shield of faith protects us from. And the first thing that I'm going to look at is, we know that the shield of faith protects us from, need to make sure I get the right one, protects us from fiery arrows. And the first fiery arrow that the shield of faith protects us from, I don't know if this is going to stay on here, it might do, yeah, there we go, is the fiery arrow of distraction. Anything that distracts us away from God. Do you know when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. The reason we pray that is that we don't want to be distracted away from God. We want to keep our focus and our mind on God. This is what happened when, right at the beginning of the Bible, when you get the story of Cain and Abel. Abel offered an offering to God that was worthy. Cain was distracted. And he offered something that wasn't worthy of God. And right the way through history, particularly through the Old Testament, you find the people there being distracted. You read through Kings and Chronicles, and you see what happens there over and over again, is that the people were distracted away from God. They went after worshipping Baal and things like that. Because Satan was using the arrow, the fiery arrow of distraction, to take their mind and their focus off of God. Jesus, Jesus understood this, and that's why he said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Money is a distraction. Sex is a distraction. Temptation to do other things that are not of God are a distraction. Anything that takes our focus off of God is a distraction. And we need to take up the shield of faith to protect us from distractions. Jesus, and I want to finish on this point for this section, says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I've probably told you this before. One of my bugbears is about seeking first my mobile phone. Yeah? When you wake up in the morning, what do? Grab your mobile phone. Oh, what's the latest message from the family? What's the latest feed on my social media app that I use? What's happening in the world? What's the news that's going on like that? One of the things I try and do, it's a little conscious effort in my mind. I say, actually, before I look at my phone, I'm going to try and look at my Bible first. Look at my Bible before I look at my phone. Seek first the kingdom of God. I don't want to be distracted away from that. I don't always manage it, I will confess that. But that is a little thing about not wanting to be distracted. The second fiery arrow that gets fired at us is the arrow of doubt. Okay, the arrow of doubt. And what we see with this, it's been there since the very beginning of time. Back in the Garden of Eden, Satan said to Eve, he said, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? What he was doing there, he was questioning, he was putting doubt in her head. And it's been happening to every one of us ever since then. Did I hear God right? Was what God said actually true? He's still doing it the same today. Did God really hear your prayers? Does he really love you? Are you really a Christian? Are you really forgiven? Does it make any difference whether you pray or not? Are the promises in the Bible true? Does God really mind if you just transgress now and again, you know, mess up? Have you ever been in a prayer meeting? You know, that you're there, your eyes are closed, and your head's bowed and things like that. And a little thought drops into your head. And you're there having this debate with God. God, are you saying that to me or not? I don't know if you're saying that to me. I don't know whether you're saying I'd need to pray about that thing or not. And before you know where it is, somebody else in the room has prayed about it. Why? Because you were doubting God. You were questioning what God said. Now, that's a little thing. But we need to remember that one of the tactics of the devil is to fire arrows, fiery arrows of doubt at us. And that's why we need to take up the shield of faith. The next one is deception. There we go. The fiery arrow of deception. This is what Jesus says in John 8:44. He's talking to the leaders at the time, and he says, "You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies." Satan wants us to believe anything but the truth of God. That's why he deceives us. That's why he deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. It says, "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from any of the trees in the garden.' But God did say, 'You must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it, or you will die.' This is Satan's reply. 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman. 'For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good from evil.'" Not die. Lied to Eve, saying that she would not die, and promising that she would be like God. A deception, a lie. And so when we... Again, we need to take up the shield of faith to protect ourselves from those lies that Satan throws at us and keep ourselves safe. Fourthly, it's the word destruction. Our last one, our fiery arrow of destruction. We're in a battle. You know, when you become a Christian, you, in a sense, move on to the other side. You move from darkness to light. And you are in a battle. We're all in a battle. That's why Paul says, put on the full armor of God. He doesn't say, you know, so you look smart, or so that you can go to a fancy dress party. He's saying because he recognizes that we are all in a battle. Put on armor that's going to protect you in this battle situation so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Satan is out to attack the church, and you and I are the church. So he's out to attack us as well. He wants him, himself, to be Lord instead of Jesus being Lord. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, there's one of the temptations. The devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you will worship me, it will be yours. And Peter reminds us, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. When we let down our shield of faith, we are allowing Satan to come in and destroy our faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we have the arrow of destruction. So, very quickly then, how do we use the shield? How do we guard against distraction, doubt, deception, and destruction? In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, after the events of Pentecost, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. And so I want to just think about these four things. First of all, devoting ourselves to reading the Bible. So I've got a piece of paper that says the Bible. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, how did he counter him? He used scripture to shield his faith. And we can only do this if we know scripture. And I know there's many of you here who have read your Bibles faithfully over the years. Well done. Carry on. Keep going. Don't give up. We need to make a habit of reading our Bibles. We need to learn verses from it. So that as you see that flaming arrow coming towards you, you can whip out your shield of faith and you can protect yourself by using words and promises from the Bible. You see, reading the Bible protects us from deception. Because we're studying the truth about God. Secondly, don't give up meeting in groups. And don't give up having fellowship with one another. Hebrews 10, the chapter before the one we read earlier, was, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Christian fellowship is important. It's important because it's encouraging one another. When you meet together as Christians, either as church on a Sunday or in your house groups or fellowship groups, whatever you call them here, you are encouraging and building one another up. And what we're doing there is we are helping one another to get rid of doubt. We're encouraging, you know, keep going. Don't give up. Thirdly, breaking of bread. I don't know how often do you have communion here? Once a month? Yeah, we do the same in our church. Okay. By doing it once a month, it's ever so easy to miss a few communions, isn't it? You know, you're away visiting family, perhaps you're not feeling so good and that, and before you know where it is, it's 3 months have gone past since you last broke bread. But Communion is so important for us. It strengthens and it reinforces our faith. It reminds us that God gave his one and only Son for our sins. And that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Satan would question our salvation. And he would say, well, are you sure you're saved? Are you sure you're a Christian? And we point to the cross and say, Jesus died for me. I believe in the power and the truth of the cross. And you remember when we read the bit from 1 Corinthians 11, and it says, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's a proclamation. It keeps our faith in Jesus alive, and it stops it from dying. It stops it from being destroyed. And so we can put that over there like that. And finally, prayer. Staying in touch with God. Building our relationship with him. If you're like me, you perhaps have many, many contacts on your phone. I don't know if you ever scroll through all your contacts, but sometimes I do, and I look at some names and I think, who was that again? I can't even remember who that person was. And then there's other people, and I think, it's been years since I last spoke to them. Don't let that be the case with you and God. Let God be your daily contact through prayer. Pray and you know, just keep in contact with him. And that way, rather than being distracted, you will stay in fellowship with God. Prayer is one of those things which Satan wants to distract us away from. He knows the power of prayer. And he knows that if he can distract us, oh, I'll just check. Oh, I'll just do this. Oh, I'll just make that phone call. Oh, I've got to do this first before I can pray. He knows that that is a good tactic to use with us. Distraction. To get it, stop us from praying. So, as we take up the shield of faith, it's a good job I've got a microphone on, isn't it? As we take up the shield of faith, remember that there are four arrows: distraction, doubt, deception, and destruction. But there's also four ways of defeating those arrows. By devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, I said this is a visual aid. What I'm going to encourage you to do now is that after the service, I don't know if you have the same thing on your phone, but I get a little thing pop up a year ago. And it shows me what I was doing a year ago, the photograph I took a year ago. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is after the service, while we're having coffee, is to come up here and get somebody to take a photograph of you holding the shield of faith. Yeah? And then put it on your social media, you know, your family WhatsApp groups, your Facebook, whatever you do, X, all those things. And say, do you know, I'm holding on to the shield of faith. And then in a year's time, it'll pop up on your phone. Oh, that was what we were doing on the 14th of June, 2020. Oh, I remember that, about taking up the shield of faith. So come and have a selfie with the shield after the service. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this. To make sure you hear more messages like these, please subscribe so you don't miss out. To find out more about Ashford Baptist, visit our website, ashfordbaptist.org.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Ashford Baptist.